Nation, Talk Radio 790 KABC. We've got a good program today, but let me just begin with this one trigger warning. You know the trigger warnings. They give them on college campuses now because everybody's a wilting violet. Can't be offended. So the trigger warning I'm giving you right now is, look, if you're the kind of person that has tried to shut down any legitimate argument with a cry of racism anywhere in the last, week to 1 month, this is not the show for you. Okay, today is not your day to listen to Sam Nation. So if you're easily offended, if you're a member of the snowflake generation and can't help yourself, today, right now, is not your time. So I'm going to just give you a couple minutes here this evening to tune me out. Okay, good. You're listening, so you're a grown-up. I like it. Now, as you know, I try to get down to the root of the issue on stuff that in honesty, a lot of shows don't really want to talk about because it's uncomfortable and it's sometimes the kind of stuff that that makes people a little weak in the knees. But I want to talk today about Charlotte because it's been, it's been going on for a few days, and I'll go through the timeline briefly. I think it's really important because there's some big lessons about America and the state of our country buried in this news story. Now, everybody, every one of us, including the people that are involved in these horrific events, every one of us has a unique perspective. We all have some totality of life experience that forms who we are and how we perceive things. I'm going to tell you mine, just for starters. If you haven't figured it out yet, it's your first time listening. I'm just going to tell you where I'm coming from. I'm a white guy from the suburbs. I carry absolutely zero white guilt. I think I have to say that for my parents immigrated to this country from Europe. Okay, they came from a communist country. They made their way to America, living the American dream. I have nothing to do with slavery. I am not a racist. I'm just a kid that grew up in Irvine to European parents. English is my second language. If you're wondering why I struggle for words sometimes. And that's who I am. Okay? Now, the other part of my identity is that I'm a lawyer. I mean, I went to law school and I learned to examine facts. It's a big thing. You know, law, the study of law, they say, you've got to learn the law and then you apply that law to fact. And facts matter. And so when I look at a problem, I always try to dissect it down to what the actual data is. Okay? And I understand that we are a society that's governed by laws, and the laws, you're either on the right side of the law or you're on the wrong side of the law. You're a law-abiding citizen or you're breaking the law. And it's not always, those categories aren't always exactly strictly defined. Obviously, you've got people who are good people that sometimes break a law. They sometimes break a law unwittingly, or they break a law, there's things happen. But you always examine the facts of it. And so these riots ostensibly, and then the media will have you believe it's all about this police shooting. And I disagree with that, and I'll explain that later. But here's why everybody's saying that the riots are happening. And it has to do with this shooting of this poor guy, Keith Lamont Scott. Now, he's 43 years old. He's a dad. He's got 7 kids. And apparently, there's some talk about him being disabled. Apparently, he's got some kind of closed head injury, a TBI. He walks with a cane, is known to walk around the neighborhood holding a book. And apparently, from what we know, on Tuesday, he's waiting for his kid to get off the bus. He's in his car. And there's some completely unrelated, I think it was a search warrant execution that was going on. So they had plainclothes officers on the scene. They were staking out one of the houses. The police officers are, by the way, they've got some kind of felony warrant that they're looking for a bad guy. The guy that they're looking for, I want to make this clear, is not Scott. It's not this guy. But they're looking for a bad guy, and the cops have their hair is up. They've got their antenna is up. They're on edge. So what happens is they apparently, and we don't see, again, this is why it's foolish to talk about this stuff now, because we haven't seen the video. We don't, I wasn't there, neither were you, and most of the people that are blabbing in the media about this weren't there either, and haven't seen the video either. And so a lot of what you're hearing right now are a lot of stupid people that are rushing to judgment and that are putting all their, you know, putting their ideas and opinions in. So we're talking about the events that are, that ostensibly, purportedly, are leading up to the riots in Charlotte. Now, you know, Charlotte's a big city. By the way, we kind of here in California, we think we're the best. And yeah, there's this place called New York, and that's pretty cool. But basically, the world revolves around California. So I think Charlotte, I think it's the 10th largest city in the U.S. And it's a fairly economically robust, robust city. Most of the state's GDP in North Carolina flows through in and out of Charlotte. So it's an important economic hub, not just for the area and for the county, but also for the state as a whole. That's important to note. I used to live in North Carolina. I lived in Durham when I was a kid. So I remember a little bit of this, but just really very little. Very, very little. Now, all right, so what happened? So the guy's sitting in the car, and now we don't really know. Cops claim that he had a gun. They told him to drop the gun. He didn't listen to them, and he got shot. I'm going to tell you right now, because I handle these types, I've worked on police shooting cases. I actually feel very strongly about this, because I've seen police officers really do terrible things. I have. They're bad apples. It's not customary. It's not how police departments run as a whole. But I have seen bad acts committed by cops. And it takes weeks, months, and sometimes a couple years to get down into it to figure out exactly what happened. I mean, pinning these things down, do you realize in a case like this, when my firm handles a civil rights case where somebody's been shot by the police, do you realize how many depositions take place just to nail down the series of events? Do you realize the amount of investigating that we do, the experts that have to come in, determine which way the bullets flew, what happened, order of events? I'm not even talking about examining videos, right? I'm just talking about the physical evidence at the scene. It is unbelievable. I'm no exaggeration. It is a mountain of work. And the reason I say all this is because, you know, I think we're in this culture where we want everything right now. We want to figure it out right now. People are pissed. They want answers. They want all this figured out. And then I will tell you a final thing here that's important. People don't remember things correctly. Do you guys remember Ferguson? We've talked about it so many times on the show. Do you realize all the people that claim that they saw it, that they saw, you know, Black Lives Matter, the whole hands up, don't shoot thing? That, not true. The guy did not have we've gone through it before. His DNA was on the gun. You know, he had his DNA was on the cop's door. The cop was assaulted. His face was swollen. But none of those facts all ended up coming out when the grand jury investigated, but that was months later. But initially, you have witnesses that come out and say, oh, I saw this, I saw that. I saw him with his hands up in the air. And then later, when they're under oath and things have calmed down, they're like, yeah, you know what, actually, I don't remember that, or I really wasn't there. Or in the case of one lovely witness at Ferguson, she actually said, I just wanted to get in on the action. I wanted to be relevant. I wanted to be part of the story. Okay, now the reason I'm talking about Ferguson is because months have gone by, time has gone by, facts have come out, investigating has been done, and we realize the extent to which the narrative of the people on the scene has been discredited. And so here you've gone, I'll tell you just some of the things. Well, first of all, they're saying it wasn't a gun, it was a book. You know, typically me, I callously joke that Obama says it can't be a book because Obama says it's harder to buy a book than a gun. in the inner city. But, well, remember that statement? What an absurdity that was. And of course, the greater absurdity here is just taking a quick political aside on this, and I'm going to talk about this more because this is really where the story's headed. I mean, wasn't Obama going to lead us to the promised land of post-racial America? I mean, we are here on literally in the last minutes of the final quarter of the Obama presidency. We are in this almost 8 whole years. And what do we have to show for it? How many riots have we had? So, I think, yeah, obviously, no, I mean, no, I obviously race relations are at an all-time low. And you'd think all that hope and change crap would have been worth something, but yeah, that's right. Like Zimbabwean currency, Obama's campaign promises. So anyway, Scott's daughter live streams on Facebook the entire aftermath. The video is online. It has so many expletives, you can't even put it on air. It would sound like one giant long beep. Now, I don't know how I would feel if someone shot my dad. I don't know how I would feel in the moment when my loved one was gunned down by a cop or anybody in the street. Okay, but the way this woman is talking is out of this world unbelievable. Unbelievable. No civilized person ought to speak this way. It's disgusting. One. Two, most people didn't watch this video all the way through, but in it, it's interesting. Now, she's claiming that he was unarmed, and there's a picture out there of a gun laying on the street that was ostensibly his. We're going to figure that out. But back to my original posit, facts matter in these things. I'm concerned with the facts. And one of the things that she says is, I'm going to shut Charlotte down. If you guys killed my dad, because at one point they're not quite sure yet. Apparently, she doesn't know whether... You know, the gravity of what just occurred. And so she thinks there's possibly her father's still alive. And she says, if you guys killed him, she calls the cops pigs and horrible things. And again, words we can't repeat on air. But in all of this, she says, if you guys killed my daddy, we're all going to shut Charlotte down. And that is exactly what happened. Because as nightfall came, their first was a silent protest around 4:30, if you remember this, right? And that quickly got aggressive overnight. The first vehicles were burned. Some kind of tractor trailer was burned. And by Wednesday night, full-fledged rioting, looting, people stealing stuff from stores. There was a white man. There's a terrible video of a white guy, just an innocent bystander who's walking along who gets beaten. And it's a mob beating. This guy's having his clothes ripped off of him. It's terrible. And in all of this, what's interesting of all things is that the cop that did this is black. The chief of police is black. You know, we're not looking at some top down white, you know, racist institution. And what's even more stunning is the police officer here, his name is Brentley Vincent, his father is a retired police officer from the same department. So he's, you know, this, and that's one of the things that the witnesses at the scene are all claiming, and there's video, again, a lot of video out there, people, you know, live streaming this stuff. And they're claiming it was a white cop, white pig that shot my daddy. White guy. And people are saying, witnesses are saying that Scott was holding a book and not a gun. And so there's all this, there's already certain important factual information out there that isn't factual. It isn't corroborated. And maybe today, you know, as of tonight, I can't call it a lie, but I can say it's not corroborated. And my lawyer brain tells me I have to wait for the facts to come through. And so that leads me to the final thing that I, you know, where's all this going, right? So what? Okay, so these are the facts and these aren't the facts. And what are you talking about, Sam? So Why the riots? Why riots? And here it is. In the next segment, I'm going to tell you why. And it has nothing to do with the actual shooting. And it has everything to do with failed policies that have gone on for 40 plus years and have led to a complete deterioration in our society that has developed into this thing. I'm going to explain it all in full when we come back after this short break. All right. More to come. Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KBC.
This is Sweet James Bergener. I listen to Sam Nation.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's Johnny.
Now, as an added spot tonight, I just wanted to let you guys know that we are subjugating our entire show to Sam Nation because apparently he's right and the rest of everyone is wrong.
Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC, having an uncomfortable conversation about race in America and why these riots are happening. Again, if you are a millennial, if you are a snowflake, if you are someone who likes to cry racist, if you are a delicate liberal, tune out now. You are not listening to the right program. This is not the place for you. Might I suggest MSNBC, perhaps the Clinton News Network, or I don't know. What's that home shopping network? QVC? You know, is that the one? But why buy it on QVC if you can get it at the Walmart in Charlotte for free? Sweet goodness. Who do you think the victims of looting are? You think it's white people? You know, I saw this video where this whole, this is... This is my voice when I get exasperated. I get it that they've lost their father. I get it that they've lost their brother. But I guess it was the brother of the decedent of Keith Lamont Smith. And by the way, this guy just looks like, I mean, okay. And he's yelling, you know, he's yelling at reporters. They're asking to get a comment. And can I just tell you something? Again, this is the lawyer's perspective on this. I'm going to give everybody listening a giant free tip. You ready for the free tip? If you really do have a legitimate wrongful death claim against the police, you have got to be a likable and presentable plaintiff. You've got to be somebody that a jury down the road is going to feel sorry for. If your pants are hanging down around your ankles, you look like a drug dealer or a gangbanger, and you're yelling at a reporter who's coming to interview you, calling her the white devil. Y'all are white devils. This is what the guy's saying, literally. And there's some bad language in it, so I can't play it. But not good. If I was his lawyer, I'd tell him to just shut the, you know what, up. So that's just a little pro tip here for those of you still listening. But he's yelling at the reporters. The reporters are just trying to get out the story. You know what? If you feel like you've been wronged by the police, if you feel like you've been the victim of racism. You want to get your message out. Here's another thing you don't do. You don't abuse the reporters that are coming in and telling your story. Did you hear about the one reporter that got thrown into a fire by the protesters, burned across 70% of his body? What the heck? This is animalistic behavior. So we're talking about the riots. We're talking about Charlotte. And I want to explain. When rioters burn down the neighborhood and they loot stores, that isn't just, as this brother of Mr. Scott says, this not just, these are not just businesses owned by white devils, okay? They're going after little mom and shop, I mean, mom and pop shops. These are minority-owned businesses in many cases. They're breaking into people's cars. You see the one looter who was pulling out some shoes and first checked to see if they were the right size and was like, yeah, they're the right size. Cool, I'll take them. Well, guess what it is? These people just wanted to steal. They just want stuff. What do you think this is about? You think it's a real protest? You think they're really, oh yeah, I'm really going to punish the man by burning down my own neighborhood. Yeah, that's exactly right. This makes zero sense. And you go back, and I'm going to give you some examples when we come back of places that have had riots. But this all, I think, hits really close to home for us here in LA. Because I was still pretty young. I was a young kid, and again, I was living in Irvine, so it was a little farther away from me. But I vividly remember the riots. And I remember that feeling of unease. And so when I look at these poor people who are under assault, when I look at the truly innocent civilians that are under assault right now in Charlotte, they're probably wondering, where are the police? Where is the National Guard that came later than it should have? And so I want to talk about some of this stuff. All right, so when we come back, give you some examples of what riots have created. Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KABC.
We shall fight on the airwaves. We shall fight on Twitter and Facebook. We shall broadcast our program, whatever the cost may be. And if Sam Nation lasts for 1,000 years, men will say, this was their finest hour.
This is number one champion sound. Yeah, Estelle, we about to get down. Who the hottest in the world right now? Just touched down in London town.
Well, you know what just touched down in London town? That's right, a little bit of In-N-Out. Yes, Sam Rzhovsky here, Sam Nation Talk Radio 790. KABC. And for those of you who know me, I have two food groups. One is sushi and the other one is In-N-Out. And occasionally a sprinkling of Chick-fil-A nuggets. And so I'm on my way to the studio and I've got to power up here to be in prime form for all of you. And stopped off for a little bit of In-N-Out. Reminded me that yesterday In-N-Out had opened a little pop-up restaurant. You know what that is? When you just open up a temporary, kind of a small type, almost like a food truck type of thing, but just anywhere normal, where normally a restaurant would not be. And they said, hey, we're going to be open from 11 to 3, we'll be serving burgers until we run out. I think they only served double doubles, cheeseburgers, and hamburgers. And they had fries, which the Brits called chips, if you didn't know that. And yeah, they sold out like snap fast, which I don't blame them. I know whenever I have visitors from Europe, I always say, hey, well, I'm going to take you out for burgers. I'm going to take you out to this great burger spot. And they go, no, sorry, we don't do hamburgers. You know, we're Europeans and we do like wine and cheese and we eat snails. And I'm like, oh, shut up. I'm taking you to the best hamburger you've ever had. Get in my car. You know what? And like that, I take them to In-N-Out. I order for them and they literally have tears coming down, streaming down their face. This is the best food I've ever had. And then, you know, the night before we're leaving, they beg me. They beg me, can we please go back to that burger joint? Yeah, no, In-N-Out is not a sponsor of the program, but they ought to be. They're sponsors of the station. But no, this is just coming from my heart that is filled with cholesterol. But anyway, all right. London town. We got a little Kanye. All right, so, well, I guess back to the riots. What can I tell you? Facts matter. You know what? Why don't we play these? I got some. the number one, you know, who it's always the who benefits from the riots. Who benefits from this? Well, it's the people who walk away with free stuff. And then, of course, it's all the demagogues, right? The politicians, the racial demagogues, okay? The people who are able to make hay of this and build political capital from it. And I bring you, ladies and gentlemen, the NAACP and a lovely woman by the name of Corinne Mack, who is the president minister of the NAACP. And let's play. This is from CNN Newsroom earlier today. And let's play the first tape.
I think the most important part is the contrast in him having a book versus a gun. But in my mind and in most of the community's mind, it really doesn't matter if he had a gun. At the end of the day, we have the right under the Second Amendment to carry here in North Carolina. And their responsibility was to engage him in a more de-escalated way.
Okay, but all right, so it doesn't matter. The facts don't matter, huh? Is that what it is? You know? To me, most states have some scheme by which you can conceal carry a weapon. Okay? And the first thing that they teach you in California, if you're going to carry a weapon, this is what I hear. I've seen this. I've got police friends in law enforcement. The first thing that they teach you is if a cop comes up to you and pulls you over, what you do is you take out your concealed weapon permit and your driver's license, and it's the first thing you hand to the cop while your hands are on the steering wheel, palms up. You literally just, you contort your hand, you hand him your ID, your other hand is where you can see him. What you don't do is pull your weapon out, start waving it around, the cop tells you drop it, and you don't drop it. So there's protocol for this, and I don't want to get into the meat of it yet because we don't have the facts. But let's just assume that is what happened, because everybody's assuming right now. So I guess I can too. I am telling you that police officers approach every situation differently, and it's based on their risk assessment of it. And that's why, did you hear about the guy? That was the white guy riding a car during the riots, and he has a gun hanging out of his car, and everybody's up in arms about it. When I come back, I want to tell you about that. It's very interesting. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KBC.
You're looking for a show that doesn't sugarcoat the truth. Sam Nation will accommodate you.
So what do you do if you know, we were just talking about civil rights cases and that they are legitimate, obviously. I mean, look at Tulsa. Right. That guy had his hands up. It's on video. It's clear. I mean, the cops probably messed up. We know they messed up because Donald Trump said so. I know we haven't played that clip yet, but we have it here in the archive. But at any rate, what happens when you have a case like that? You know, you want to get a good lawyer. That's what you want to do. You don't want to talk to the media. Don't call the police white devils. OK, don't do any of that nonsense. Get a lawyer. And why not get a lawyer you can trust, right? Isn't that a good start? So attorney James Bergner is just the guy, and his friends call him Sweet James. That's what we call him here on the program. And when you talk to him, you'll know why. He's somebody that really cares. He's not just an aggressive lawyer. I mean, he's going to fight for you and get you everything that you deserve, but he's also somebody who can be compassionate, who understands, you know, the situation and understands the different complex layers of things. And so every time we talk to him here on the program, he's the guy. He's the guy you want to talk to if you ever have something happen. And it of course, can be anything from a civil rights case to a car accident to a toxic tort case, whatever it is. It's all personal injury cases James and his team handle, and they do a phenomenal job. All right. How do you get in touch with him? Easy. Call him, 1-800-881-2021, 1-800-881-2021, or go to sweetjames.com. All right, Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KBC. We're talking about demagoguery. And I was just talking, why don't we play, you want to play that Trump clip? This is about Tulsa. And this is where the video showed that the guy that was shot by the police had his hands up. And here's what Trump says. I'll listen to this. See what you think.
I must tell you, I watched the shooting in particular in Tulsa. And that man was hands up. That man went to the car, hands up, put his hand on the car. I mean, to me, it looked like he did everything you're supposed to do. And he looked like a really good man. This young officer, I don't know what she was thinking. I don't know what she was thinking, but I'm very, very troubled by that.
Hey, you know what? I actually like his comments. I'll tell you why. I'm troubled by it, too. I'm looking at it. I've got a primary source document, or a media, right? I'm looking at it. It's not been repackaged. It's not a witness statement. I don't have to corroborate it. It's one particular view. And what I see, I'm telling you as a lawyer, I am troubled by it. And yeah, maybe she choked, maybe whatever. But he's not drawing any giant conclusions about race in America as a whole and this fight or anything. It's just he's localizing his opinion to just this one circumstance, which is how the law views it. You know, social justice, okay, is not real justice. Real justice takes one case at a time and adjudicates it based on the facts available. Social justice is making hay out of big and oftentimes unrelated events that are all tied together to form a narrative that doesn't always fit. And what do you want an example of that? Let's play the Hillary Clinton clip that is just talking about the same exact shooting in Tulsa.
We've got to tackle systemic racism, this horrible shooting again. How many times do we have to see this in our country? In Tulsa, an unarmed man with his hands in the air? I mean, this is just unbearable, and it needs to be intolerable. And so, you know, maybe I can, by speaking directly to white people, say, look, this is not who we are.
Oh, my God. I literally want to throw up in my mouth. First of all, I think she should refrain from speaking directly to white people. I mean, I don't know she speaks for me. Okay. I mean, of course, white people are not people that shoot black people for fun. I mean, what's the premise here? What do you mean? This is not who we are. What happened? What happened if it's unprovoked and if he had his hands up? The cop broke the law. She violated his civil rights. We have so many laws on the books that protect our rights. But you know what? We can't legislate against every stupid act out there. And it's not the fault of white society as a whole when something like this happens. It's not. Oh, we're out of time. We're going to be back just in a few minutes. Stay tuned. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KABC.
This is Sweet James Bergener. I listen to Sam Nation.
In this present crisis, government is the solution to our problem. Government is the problem, and Sam Nation is the solution. Of course, you need jelly beans for that.
Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KABC, your place for the truth and for the straight scoop, which I've been giving you in a healthy dose here. All right, so if you're just tuning in, we're talking about the riots. We're talking about all this rush to conclusion. All these facts, and I'm, you know, you can't see me, but I'm doing air quotes because these are not really facts. They're opinions. And some of these things we already know are not true. We know we've been told, and I believe it to be true, that the police officer, for example, that shot Mr. Scott, that led to these riots in Charlotte, is black himself. And of course, we've heard from witnesses that he was a white guy and that, you know, white cops and white devils. And we've heard all this terrible incendiary language. And it all reminds me. It reminds me of, do you remember Daniel Patrick Moynihan, the senator, longtime senator? And he's a Democrat, so I can, you know, put this down for the history books. I'm quoting a Democrat to make a point and not to make fun of him. He always would say, he'd say that you're entitled to your own opinion, but you're not entitled to your own facts. And that, so that's really the best way I can sum this all up. You know, we can have different opinions about things, but we at the end of the day, there's always only one truth. And the thing that bothers me the most about liberals, and you'll find this if you try to engage them, if you try to engage them headlong into a real discussion, they'll start to get squirrely on the facts with you. They'll make up their own stuff. Because oftentimes the real fact, the real truth does not add up. What happens when race and when these race riots break out? I mean, look, I teased this earlier. I was going to talk about it. Detroit, best account. They had Detroit had some of the worst riots in the 1960s. I think they had 43 people die. Of those 43 people that died in those riots, 33 of them were black. Okay, so and what do you, whose city was destroyed? I mean, what happened afterwards is, of course, money. Businesses shuttered. The place is closed. This happened in Harlem, too. And Harlem, by most accounts, has never recovered. There used to be pharmacies and doctor's offices, sophisticated shops. And after the race riots there, it's a ghost town. I mean, now they got tenement housing. They got little bodegas. But it's not what it was. So the reason I'm telling you all this is that we have to consider, and when you're looking at this, you got to consider: what are we watching? What is this? Why? What's the net result of this? And the net result of this is it destroys the very minorities, the very people that are purportedly harmed and aggrieved by these by the police actions, and they end up hurting themselves. And it's terrible. And it's not who we are as a country. It has nothing to do with racism. It has everything to do with bad manners. Boom. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KABC. Can't stop addicting.